MiseonCast presents Ascension, taken from an old folktale. Building all afternoon, and by nightfall, an autumn storm had covered the small town. While the icy gusts and sheets of rain fell outside, the gravedigger's wife sat in her chair by a warm fire, darning the gravedigger's underclothes. Her lazy black cat sat curled by the fire, brushing its sandpaper tongue in long, slow strokes over its white paws. Night fell early this time of year, and usually the gravedigger didn't arrive home until the sun had well set. But tonight he was later than usual. She knew that he would be surly when he arrived home, because he had neither worn his union suit nor had taken his rain slicker to the cemetery that morning. When the gravedigger did arrive home, though, he was far from angry. Instead, his wife noticed a look on his face that could only be one of terror. He was pale and wide-eyed. He did not speak as he slammed the door closed behind him. Though dripping wet, he threw himself into the chair nearest his wife.
"My word, you're so completely through,"
she said to the gravedigger.
"Get that thing out of here."
At first she did not understand what he meant, but then realized he was darting his eyes back and forth from her to the cat by the fire.
"What? You want me to toss boots out in this storm? I won't."
"Do it now, Emily. I demand it."
"He'll catch his death of a cold out there." "I'll not do it. If it must be done, then you'll have to do it yourself."
The gravedigger's eyes widened even more, and he chanced to glare at the small black and white feline on the rug. The cat stopped licking its paw, looked back at the gravedigger. The gravedigger nearly jumped out of his skin.
"What's gotten into you, Marcus? You look like you've seen a ghost."
The gravedigger leaned toward his wife and gripped her forearm in his trembling fist.
"I'll tell you what has happened, Emily. You won't believe a word of it, but I swear to you by Christ it's the truth. Every last bit."
"Oh, but my little bootsy can't listen in, is that the thing?"
An intensity shot through her husband's eyes, a look that sent a fearful chill through her. Her fingers stopped dead, the needle half threaded.
"Do not mock me,"
said her husband.
"All right, Marcus. I'm sorry. You look chilled through. Let me get you some hot tea, okay?"
"You remember the old widow, Geisen?"
her husband said, ignoring the offer.
"Yes. She lives up on her husband's estate, northeast of town. It's a beautiful home, as I remember, the few times that I've seen it. I heard that since Mr. Geisen passed away, she took to rescuing cats."
The gravedigger loosened his grip on his wife's arm, fell a bit back into his chair.
"She's dead."
"Oh, my."
"She died yesterday. Turns out she was out driving and tried to avoid a cat that had run out in front of her automobile. She was going too fast, swerved right into an oak, and was thrown through the windscreen and into the tree. Broke her neck."
"Oh, my lord."
"Died instantly."
"How horrible. What of the cat?"
"Huh?"
"The cat, the one she was trying to avoid. Did it live?"
"No. The widow Geisen's death was in vain. The beast was run over by the tires. The constable found its body on the road, the belly flattened and its guts spread out on the roadway. That's how he surmised the cause of the accident in the first place."
"Really, Marcus? Why must it be so graphic?"
"But so widow Geisen is dead, and her funeral is in the morning. So I was out late this afternoon digging her grave. The other man, The new one was out today with the influenza, so I had to work alone. Well, it's getting dark and the storm clouds were coming in from the west, so I was eager to finish and get home. You know how much I hate to get cold and wet. Anyway, the light was failing, but I was only about 4 feet down when I noticed some strange singing in the distance, carrying in on the bluster of the wind.
The gravedigger shot the cat another look of horror.
What has gotten into you, Marcus? It's only the cat.
Listen, Emily. This was strange singing. Not like any I'd heard before. It was like a dirge, you know, a funeral song, but it wasn't like any others I'd heard. And it wasn't in English, neither. And I could hear that it was getting closer. I found it so strange that I stopped digging and stared up over the lip of Widow Geisen's grave. And what I saw gave me such a start that I had to look harder and harder just to make sure my eyes weren't playing tricks on me.
What did you see, Marcus?
Coming down the pathway between the headstones was a funeral party. There were 3 pallbearers on each side of the casket, and the whole lot was being led by a 7th fellow in the front. They were some distance away still, but it was obvious they were coming toward me.
Was it Widow Geisen's family? I thought you said she was being buried tomorrow morning.
Exactly what I thought, Emily. But when I got to looking, and when this party got a bit closer, I noticed a lot of things that weren't quite right. God bless that creature!
Marcus, it's only the cat! Let me get you that tea!
No, listen, Emily. This funeral party wasn't right, I'm telling you. Aside from the horrible, weird singing, other things were wrong, too. First, I began to think that they were all dwarfs, you know, like midget folks. They were really short and walked funny, like it wasn't natural for them to walk like a normal person walks. They also appeared to be wearing long, thick fur coats that reached all the way to the ground. The pallbearers were in solid black coats, but the fellow in the lead was in a dark gray one. And it looked to me like they all had on funny hats with like spiky tops. And that casket they were carrying? A strangely crafted oak affair it was, covered in a black cloth. But it only would have fit a little fella, no higher than my knee.
I mean, really, just when I thought this couldn't get any more disturbing.
That's not the half of it. Like I said, the light was failing. And as they kept getting closer, I noticed that when their eyes fell on me, they shined back at me like mirrors.
That's impossible.
They were almost upon me when I finally realized what I was seeing. The first thing I noticed that they were even shorter than I'd originally thought. The tallest didn't even reach 3 feet. And though they were squat and broad and walked on 2 legs, I quickly realized that they were not men at all. They were cats.
Stop having me on, Marcus.
I told you you wouldn't believe me. But this is the last of it, and God's honest truth, Emily, the gray creature in the front raised one of his lean paws in the air, and his brethren with the casket stopped singing and stood still in the path, about 20 feet away from me. Then the gray creature skulked up to me, his wide eyes shining in the darkness, and stood right at the lip of Widow Geisen's grave. He leaned down to my face, and I knew for absolute certain that there could be no mistake that this was a feline. A giant, distorted, vicious, intelligent-looking beast for sure, but unmistakably a cat. And when he leaned down to me, he placed his paw right on my shoulder. I could feel his claws digging into my woolen coat as his voice rasped out a single command. He said to me, "Tell old Tom that old Tim is dead. His body has been found in the roadway."
What happened next, Marcus?
I pulled away from the creature's claws, scrabbled out of the widow's pit, and ran home as fast as I could. The storm came up and slowed my progress. I was terrified so completely that I dared not go back for the Model T.
There was silence for a while between the gravedigger and his wife. The only sounds were the crackle of the fire and the storm outside.
But what does it mean? Tell old Tom that old Tim is dead.
I don't understand it neither. I don't know what he was trying to tell me. I didn't think to ask what he meant. I just wanted to get as far away as I could as fast as possible. Once I gained some distance, I thought about it and have been attempting to parse it out the whole way home.
Oh my lord, what is happening to my little Bootsy?
Oh my god.
The gravedigger and his wife sat transfixed in their chairs as the lazy house cat got to its feet. It stretched, arching its back, watching them with blazing eyes. His body began to contort suddenly, to bulge and grow, and the creature heaved back onto its back legs and let out a shrill yowl. In less than a minute, the black and white cat, called Boots, stood on the carpet, broad, slanted eyes sunk between humanoid shoulders, its tail twitching between shaggy legs, fully erect, like a small child or dwarfish man.
Boots!
My name is not Boots, woman. I am Old Tom. Consider your message delivered, Gravedigger.
The cat creature leapt into the fireplace and turned back to the husband and wife one last time.
Now that old Tim is dead, I can claim the throne. Now I am the king of the cats.
And with that, the animal shot up into the chimney and was never seen again. And from that day forward, Marcus the Gravedigger refused to allow a single feline to live in his tiny home, but neither did he allow one to come to harm. And with that decision, his wife Emily was in total agreement. Ascension was reimagined, written, and produced by Ann Pendleton.